are listening to RLM News Radio Network on RealLibertyMedia.com.
Yes, you are, folks. Yes, you are. This is the RLM News Show right here on RealLibertyMedia.com. It is September 11, 2013. Welcome to the RLM News Show. We are simulcast on Spreaker.com and WorldTruth.org, World Truth Radio. Welcome to all the folks over there on the World Truth site. Not sure who's all tuned in over there this morning. Only one I see alive and kicking is Grammy. I think Blackbird was around. I see, although here in the RLM chat room, which is where you ought to be, reallibertymedia.com, join the chat right there on the front page of the site. And you can talk to great folks here that are listening in. Catch the links I provide for the stories I cover throughout the show and just be part of the conversation. And, yeah, we do have a nice list of great folks here this morning. We got Java Doctor. We got Larry and Carolyn. We got Miss Kate, the Wood Man, Anti-Theocon, A-Girl, Beetle, Beth Z, Free and Slave, Don C, the Meme Filter, Mr. Rome's. Happy birthday, Rome's. That's right, it's Rome's birthday. It's Bashar al-Assad's birthday. It's the 12th anniversary of 9/11. I'll get to that later on. The Space Wolf is here with us. Trans Am, Trojan Blue, all kinds of folks. Come on over, jump on into the chat. Well, you'll be glad you did. We'll be glad you did. Everybody will be just happy, happy, happy. Can't be any more happy than that, can you? I see Scotty Michelle Brown tuned in over there on the World Truth site. Good morning, Scotty. Let's hit it. Yeah, I got so much weird, you know, it's this day is not a good day ever since at least 2001 has not been a good day, but we'll get to some of that. There's the Blackbird. Gold is up 20 cents. Oh boy, 20 cents. You can take that to the bank. $1,363.50 per troy ounce right now on your gold. Just, you know, moving just ever so slightly. Silver is up 17 pennies this morning. That's about almost 0.75%. $23.14 on your silver. Copper is down a little less than half a cent. $3.22.95 per pound on your copper. Bitcoin up 2.7%. $137.20 per Bitcoin. The dollar dropping a bit versus the other fiats at 81.57 is off 0.24 this morning. Volatility down low at the 14 marker right now. It opened around 14.5. It has since slid down to the 14 marker. All your national gas average, by the way, for today, what I'm giving it to you from Gas Buddy instead of normally. I use the AAA's daily fuel gauge report, but it wouldn't load for me today, so I'm using the Gas Buddy price. Either way, no big deal, one way or the other. The national average for a gallon of unleaded regular today, according to this site, is $3.579 per gallon, which is down about 0.6 of a penny from yesterday, where it was $3.585. So GasBuddy.com, I tried to avoid them because I noticed a while back that they were being manipulated. Manipulated. On your phony stock markets, yes, the robotically traded, disconnected from all reality stock markets. The Dow Jones is up 91 points this morning, 15,282 points right now, up 0.6%. The NASDAQ actually down a little, off 7 points today at 3722. It is down 0.2% there. Your S&P 500 at 1686 is up 2 points, just over 0.1%. Your global Dow at 2299 is up 10 points this morning, 0.4% there. Oil, the WTI crude, is sitting at $107.73 a barrel, up 33 cents a barrel right now. I would think it'd be coming down after what happened over there in Syria, but apparently not. Apparently it don't matter. That's right, first anniversary of Benghazi. We got a story on them. Anyway, that's about 0.3% jump there on your WTI crude. I'm looking at the Brent crude sitting at $111.60 per barrel right now. I always want to say when I'm looking at any of these various things per troy ounce, because I'm so tuned into the gold and silver, but they don't really sell the oil or dollars in troy ounces. Anyway, this first story I have for you comes off of Activist Post here this morning, and it's like, what do you mean they can? They can? Hey, Anti, what's going on there? Anti joining us. Ultra-fast robots can take over financial markets. What do you mean they can? They took over the financial markets years ago. Anyway, from the story here, recently, the global financial markets experienced a series of computer glitches that abruptly brought operations to a halt. The one reason these flash freezes may be the sudden emergence of mobs of ultra-fast robots, which trade on the global markets and operate at speeds beyond human capability, well beyond, thus overwhelming the system. The appearance of this ultra-fast machine ecology is documented in a new study published today in Nature Scientific Reports. So I just wanted to tell you, Annette Gallagher, apparently that's the author of this post here, from AI News and the AI Economy. AI Economy? You think there's any intelligence going on out there? I'm kind of doubting that. But that's apparently her direction on this from the Activist Post. And she does give you her email and phone number to contact her. Maybe the robots will contact her and let her know, yeah, we have full control already. We've been in control for a long time. And I'm glad you're finally noticing it, say the robots. 100101. All right. If you're looking to buy a house and you're thinking that, well, I'm just going to go through the government to get my FHA loan, it might be a little more difficult very, very soon, as now loan limits for popular mortgages are scheduled to drop in January, according to Wall Street Journal report. The Federal Housing Finance Agency is planning to slash the maximum size of mortgages eligible to be backed by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which are currently as high as $417,000 in most of the country and up to $625,500 in pricier cities like New York and San Francisco. That same month, new mortgage rules by the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau go into effect, which restrict the type of mortgages lenders can provide. Didn't they do that back in 2008 when this whole thing blew up? Apparently not. The changes could leave next year's mortgage applicants with fewer and more expensive financing options to choose from than what's currently available, which, you know, I think probably won't make that big of a difference, really, considering the fact that so many of the houses that were out there that the prices collapsed on got sucked up by who? Money launderers, you say? And the fact that they're finally coming to this realization, oh boy. Anyway, money laundering exposed as a key component of the housing bubble's all cash bid. Again, something we've known for 5 years. Anyway, in August 2012, when isolating one of the various reasons for the latest housing bubble, we suggested that a primary catalyst for the price surge in the ultra-luxury housing segment is the seemingly endless supply of all-cash buyers. standing at an unprecedented 60% of all the buyers that are out there buying. 60% of everybody out there buying is buying cash? Well, it ain't you, is it? It's not you out there buying, is it? No. You know who it is? Oh, yeah, that's right. The Federal Reserve has been buying mortgage-backed securities. That's the tune of $85 billion a month. Oh, man. Anyway, we also had given all that money off to their banker buddies. They would then go out and buy all of these houses. But they're talking about the fact here that this is being used for money laundering from foreign money coming into the country illegally. A civil forfeiture complaint filed against the assets of a Cyprus-based real estate corporation and other holding companies alleges that some of the proceeds from the $230 million tax fraud in Russia were launched through the purchase of four luxury condominiums located in the Wall Street Dorman building and two commercial spaces in prime locations in Midtown Chelsea. Today's forfeiture action is a significant step towards uncovering and unwinding a complex money laundering scheme arising from notorious foreign fraud, U.S. Attorney Preet Bharara said in a statement. While New York is a world financial capital, it is not a safe haven for criminals. Like hell it isn't. Anyway, seeking to hide their loot, no matter how and where their fraud took place. Yeah, right. You mean it's only for your favored criminals. It's not for just any criminal. Yeah, I'll let you read through and check out the details for yourself, but this is just breaking, really. Even though, like I said, this should have been common knowledge for years. Charles Hugh Smith of TwoMinds.com posted this today, and again, not really breaking news, but here it is for you. Our huge, stinking mountain of debt. Student loans. Imagine a huge stinking mountain of debt which represents all of the debt in the world. Now, look at the chart of the student loan debt. Notice anything about this chart of student loan debt owed to the federal government? Student loan debt owed to the federal government. Funny how that works. Direct federal loans to students have exploded higher from $93 billion in 2007 to $560 billion in early 2013. This gargantuan sum exceeds the gross domestic product of many entire nations. For example, Sweden, $538 billion, Iran, $521 billion. Non-federal student loans total another $500 billion, bringing the total to over $1 trillion. Does this seem sustainable to you? Does it look like a healthy atmosphere for students, society, taxpayers? Now on the hook for a $500 trillion in potential defaults? Oh, the United States economy? Anyway, well, I'll give you this. You can look at these charts here for yourself, but bear in mind that back over, well over a year ago, a year and a half ago or so, there was this group that I don't even know if they still exist, called the, what the hell were they called? The Inflation Foundation or whatever. I'll give you the link to that post as well. The National Inflation Association. Now, they got slammed because they were trying to sell products, and people didn't like the fact that a group that was supposedly out there for the benefit of all was actually trying to sell products to support themselves. I found a lot of what they did was very good information, although a lot of people didn't like him, like things that way. Regardless of all that, I never saw anybody slamming this particular documentary, and it's called The College Conspiracy. It's a half-hour vid. It's right there. It was posted May 26, 2011. So what, 2.5 years ago? Oh, man, I tell you, this information's been out there, but now I guess it's coming to a head. Like I said, if you look at these charts here, and you look at what has happened since the 2007-2008 time frame with that chart, which was already climbing at way, way too fast of a rate, just skyrocketed. Just the angle of the increase just went straight up. Well, fairly steeply up. Went from a 30% incline to about a 75-80% incline. So just take a look at that. But the whole scam of college education, that everybody needs to be in college educated. Yeah, exactly. Kate points out that Matt Taibbi over on Rolling Stone did a piece about the college loan scandal. And this crap will come to a head, just like the housing bubble did. This is a huge bubble right now. This is a massive, ugly bubble, and these students can't get the job to pay for it when they get out of college. They're out there at best working at Walmart or McDonald's part-time. But then this is coming up sooner. This is coming up sooner. Because your wonderful government has its head so far up its ass that it can't see anything, because it's dark up there, you know. There's no light in there, and they can't see what's going on. But this is coming, immediately following who knows what kind of nastiness is going to go on with the global wars or the cyber, false flag cyber attacks or whatever. Anyway, this is coming, and they're looking for something to blame it on, and it won't be themselves. You can bet on that. The United States could default on its debt obligations by mid-October, a think tank warns. Bipartisan Policy Center says default could come unless Washington agrees to new legislation to raise the borrowing limit, which they've been doing pretty much programmatically since the debt limit was ever imposed. A debt ceiling was never really a debt ceiling. It was like a rubber stamp. Push that limit up. Either way, according to the story here, and it'll be a big story. It'll be a partisan story. It'll be the fake left versus the fake right. All them arguing and spewing and spitting. The United States could default on its obligations as early as October 18th. They've been in default for years. I don't know who they're trying to fool here, but whatever. As early as October 18, if Washington fails to agree on legislation to raise the government's borrowing cap, a new study predicted Tuesday. Who's going to loan to these assholes? Would you loan any money to the United States government? I mean, look at the way they run their business. Is there any chance you would ever loan money to somebody like this? This is the way they run their business? You're going to give them money? And especially talking about the interest rates we're looking at, you got to be out of your mind. What's the 10-year right now? It's just nothing, less than 3%. Anyway, the Bipartisan Policy Center analysis says the default date would come no later than November 5th. Remember. And the government would quickly fall behind on its payments, including your payments. What are you supposed to get? It'll keep funding wars, no doubt about that. It'll keep funding all kinds of crap you never wanted in the first place that do not benefit you. But Social Security? No. Military pensions? No. Anything they can do that will put the screws to you, they'll do. But they're going to keep their machine running. Oh, well greased, you can bet on that. The think tank estimate is in line with a warning last month by Jacob Luce, Treasury Secretary, that the government would exhaust its borrowing authority by mid-October. Now, if you've been paying attention at all, you've been keeping an eye on what the current debt number is, and realize that, wait a minute, that number's been frozen for 4, going on 5 months here, at a certain number, right below the ceiling. Up until that time, it had been increasing by hundreds of billions of dollars every month, and suddenly at one point, it just stops, it freezes, and now this is coming up in October? You think this is real? Do you think any of this is more real than anything else the government has to say? I mean, give me a break. So somehow, all the debt just froze at that point in time. No new money was being spent. Oh, that's right. Everything just magically froze right below the debt ceiling. Bullshit. Anyway, there's that story for you. And again, there is propaganda there on The Guardian, even though we do get some good information coming off that site, or that journalistic outlet, I guess you would call it. All right, so today is 9/11, September 11th, the 12th anniversary of the beginning of the full-on police state. And today, in the cities of New York and Dallas, there are some new billboards that have gone up. Billboards. And these billboards ask a question. Did you know a third tower fell on 9/11? Yeah, that's from the rethink911.org. Site, so it's great to have these big billboards out there, maybe to wake up a few people, because apparently, and if you go out and talk to the average moron out there on the road, in the grocery store, in your laundromat, I don't know where the hell you go, at your place of business, they have no idea. They've never heard of Building 7. And if they do hear about it, they'd say, well, wait a minute. No airplane hit that building. Not one. Huh? You mean a couple little office fires brought down a 47-story building into its own footprint in less than 7 seconds, free fall speed? Are you shitting me? Huh? Now, we were buying the government's line about the two towers falling just so neatly and cleanly at free fall speed into their own footprints because of jet fuel. But this one, this may make them actually have to stop and think and look and understand that everything the government's been telling them has been a massive lie. And that if this building fell the exact same way, collapsed the exact same way that the big towers fell, then maybe the big towers didn't fall as they've been told. Maybe they've been being lied to. Maybe all this was done so the globalists could go to war and impose a massive police state on you. Huh. Maybe the Patriot Act was already written, in place, ready to be signed well before any terrorists flew airplanes into buildings, maybe. You think? Now, and if you don't realize that the primary reason for 9/11, for the false flag event that happened that day, was to impose a full-on police state on you and the rest of the world. It didn't just happen here in the United States, by the way, in case you were wondering, in case you thought that, well, we've got this huge police state now, but other countries, they're still free. No, they're not. This got imposed globally. At least in the Zionist countries, in the Western countries, it got imposed on all of them at the same time. Because terrorism, it's a global fight, you know? Yeah, I know, I'm a dirty anti-Semite. I know. because that's what Martin Luther King apparently says, that if you are anti-Zionist, that means you're anti-Jewish and an anti-Semite. That's what Martin Luther King said. I was really shocked to find that out yesterday as I was doing some research to come up with my daily quotes of the day, which yesterday's quotes were all on Zionism, which if you read through some of those, they're so disturbing. But Martin Luther King, I had no idea he was a Zionist. But he was a massive Zionist. And he basically, anybody, if you were anti-Zionist, that meant that you were an anti-Semite. And you hated Jews. And I don't hate Jews. And I'm not an anti-Semite. I don't like Zionism. And if you read through those quotes from yesterday, you'll understand what the concept, the goal of the Zionists is. And it is not the same as that of the Jewish people. And as Joe Biden pointed out, you don't have to be a Jew to be a Zionist. Oh, no, I'm not anti-theocon. That would be you. I don't know if he was you want to say he was not a Zionist? Go look it up. Go find it. Go find his letter that he wrote. He was. Martin Luther King Jr. was a massive Zionist. There's no question in my mind after the things I read yesterday, things that I found. I didn't say he was evil. I think he was confused. I think he had his mind distorted by some of the influences that were pushed down upon him. And he was being influenced and pushed several directions because of the power that he apparently held. The influence that he held over massive groups of people, he was being influenced by a lot of other folks. They were steering him in this direction or that direction. And one of those directions was into Zionism. Well, and Anti says, it proves the point that all Zionists are not up to no good. The thing is, if you're a Zionist, if you follow the Zionist agenda, that makes you being up to no good. Their agenda is basically taking over a massive portion of the planet and screw anybody else that's there already. Anyway, enough of that. Go read the quotes on yesterday's blog. You'll see. So, this massive police state that was put into place after 9/11, they started before that, but they really kicked it into high gear after 9/11. There's a post here, and I think I shared this with you last week, but here it is again, just in case you missed it. Over here on the originalsourcebag.com. Hey, Scotty, I didn't see you pop in there. All right. Police brutality cases on the rise. And they list a whole bunch of different stuff here, from Greenville to L.A. to attacks on grandmothers in Denver, and officers beating students, and Houston police handcuffing and beating 15-year-old kids, and Rhode Island cop. Anyway, just the massive police state apparatus that has been put into place since then. Like I said, I do believe I shared this with you previously, but here it is again for you, just in case you might have missed it. Because that's probably one you want to share with your friends and or talk about, blog about, write about the police state. It's a big thing, and it should be talked about as much as possible. I came across this. This is kind of a little bit out of place, but here it is. I came across this last night, and it's just a little blurb in the RT.com newsline. Monsanto spent $4.5 million to defeat Washington State genetically engineered food labeling measure. Shouldn't be a real surprise, right? Agribusiness giant Monsanto invested $4.5 million in recent days to defeat a genetically engineered food labeling measure in Washington State, according to campaign contributor filings. The state ballot initiative, I-522, to require mandatory GE food labeling will be on the ballot in November. Recent polling data shows the measure has strong support in the state. The agribusiness spent over 45, I thought it was 4.5. I think it's 4.5. I think they forgot a dot there. $45 million on in California, they spent $45 million. I can almost read. In last year's own ballot initiative, Prop 37, which was narrowly defeated. And they don't care if it's defeated by one vote or a million votes, as long as it's defeated. They don't care. Now, personally, I am not for mandatory labeling at all anyway. I'm against mandatory anything. But it's just interesting to see how this is going on. I'm certainly opposed to the mandatory imposition of whatever regulation. But to you, I think that if a company is producing food and they don't label it, they don't tell you what's in their food, they don't tell you whether or not it's genetically engineered, genetically modified, they don't tell you whether it's got high fructose corn syrup or aspartame or fluoride or whatever other nasty shit in it, just don't buy their crap. Buy somebody else's. And if you can't find anybody that doesn't have it, grow it yourself. Which is probably your best bet anyway, but you know, just don't buy crap from people you don't trust. And I'm not for mandatory anything, but whatever, there you go. Just interesting to see what they do and how they go about it. 1 year ago, the consulate in Benghazi got attacked and 4 Americans got murdered there. And you're never going to find out the real story about that. We all know, however, it was about gun running from that consulate, from Libya, through Turkey, and into to Syria, to the paid murderers there that they call the rebels. Well, last night, another blast struck Benghazi. This one was at the Foreign Ministry building last night. So the bomb explosion has caused serious damage to the Foreign Ministry building in the Libyan city of Benghazi. It comes on the anniversary of the attack on the U.S. consulate in that city, which killed the ambassador and 3 aides. Witnesses said the explosion was caused by a car bomb. It is not yet clear if there have been any casualties. The foreign ministry has been destroyed, as well as parts of a nearby local headquarters of the Central Bank. Now, destroying a central bank is a public service, in my view. So, where'd you go, Scotty? She left, huh? All right. Oh, boy. Anyway, they got pictures of the building here and some of the rubble and a little bit of the whatever. Take a look there. So that happened today. Maybe you heard about it. I don't know. Yesterday, Apple... There she is. Yesterday, Apple rolled out their new iPhone. iPhone 5C. One of the big things they were touting as a wonderful thing on this new iPhone was the fact that you don't need to use passwords anymore. Passwords are no longer required because it scans your fingerprint. You can access your account, your information, by using a fingerprint. Oh, it's such a great thing. Oh, Shinobi's here, too. Yeah. So, now you all know where I'm going to go with that. But, one thing I've been watching for the last year and a half or so is Marissa Meyer and Marissa Meyer's transformation of Yahoo. I liked her. I like what she's done with the company. I like the direction she's taken it. And it's certainly a big improvement over their previous CEO. But Marissa Meyer, and I just wanted to smack her a little bit. Marissa Meyer thinks the coolest part of the new iPhone is the fingerprint scanner. Dang it, Marissa. I was really liking you so much. And now this. I just, you know. Anyway, and I know she's, one of them. She's one of the elitists, the globalists, the top of the club. But she's really done some nice stuff. And she's taken the company in a very decent direction. But this fingerprint scanner, as is pointed out over here on USAHitman.com, the NSA will be getting thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of free fingerprints with user IDs very soon. Oh, and by the way, all of the stuff that you happen to do on your little iPhone 5C. That's right. Once you, they tell you, Apple's telling you, and you can trust them. Of course, they've never lied before, right? they tell you that, oh, no, nothing to worry about. All fingerprint data is encrypted, says Apple marketing chief Phil Schiller. Schiller? Really? Is that the name you're going to go with? Phil the Shill? And and it's secured inside a secure enclave. It's not available to other software. It's never uploaded to Apple servers or backed up to the cloud. Bullshit. And this will come out somewhere down the road after millions of these iPhones are out there in the hands of people and being used. And whether or not you shut off the fingerprint scanner function, it's still going to scan your fingerprint. If you buy one, it's still going to do it. Not that other devices won't as well, but this is the first one that they're coming out and touting it as a wonderful thing. No more passwords needed. Your fingerprint's all you need. This is your biometric ID right there. So Phil the Shill telling you not to worry. Everything is freaking fine. We're not going to use your data. We're not even going to know about your data. We're not going to share your data. Oops, we did it again. Where's that Britney Spears when you need her? All right, I never needed her. But you can bet your ass right now, mark my words, whether it's a year from now or a couple of years from now, it will come out that all your fingerprints have been sent to the NSA and are being used to track every single thing you do. Mark my words. And with the Apple iPhone, by the way, you need to have a credit card. They need to know exactly who you are. So that you can't just say, my name is Joe Blow. Because they have your credit card information on file in order to even use your iPhone. NSA. Sharing raw intelligence data with Israel. Gladly, proudly, ever so proudly. Yeah, this is a information coming from a new leak from Edward Snowden. That's right, the NSA routinely, as part of practice, standard operating practice, shares raw intelligence data with Israel. Unfiltered data. All data. A top secret document provided by to The Guardian by Edward Snowden reveals. I'll let you read it for yourself. I'm sure this does not surprise anybody out there. But there it is. Just what everybody's known all along. It's what everybody suspected. All of these globalists get to share your data. All these people want to look up and find something nasty about you. They have the information to do so. There it is. Right there. They, well, I'd say they admit it, but they've been exposed. Exactly. And who was it? Mike SLC over in Jules' UCY TV chat this morning, pointing out the fact, again, after I think I posted this story, or a similar one, that the NSA is basically just a branch of Mossad. They are part of Mossad. Not that they're not also part of the CIA. Not that the CIA MI6 is not also part of Mossad. Or that Mossad's not part of the CIA and MI6. I have to go any direction you want with it. It all works together. It's all one big crappy ass family. Now, I hate to do this to you, but here it is. And I came across this morning. Globalists, yes, the New World Order, the Agenda 21 coming your way. And it's not just GMOs anymore. Artificial egg made from plants backed by, drumroll, Bill Gates. Set to revolutionize cooking, goes on sale at Whole Foods. Hey, isn't Whole Foods the one that said that it was going to take them like 6 years to label their GMO foods? Yeah, well now, on sale at Whole Foods is an artificial egg made from plants backed by Bill Gates. This is going to be sold to you as the new great thing you have to have, you have to eat. A radical artificial egg backed by, oh yeah, Peter Thiel's involved as well. You know, I thought Peter Thiel was going to turn out to be a decent guy. He was backing Ron Paul after all, but, you know, he's just one of them. Anyway, so the radical artificial egg backed by PayPal billionaire Peter Thiel and Bill Gates goes on sale in the U.S. supermarkets today, 9/11. Huh. Hi there, Team Yankee. Made from plants, it can replace eggs and everything from cakes to mayonnaise. So whether or not you go to Whole Foods and buy these artificial eggs, you're going to get them in foods that you buy. They'll be included in foods that you buy, just like the high fructose corn syrup, just like the GMO corn, just like all kinds of other nasty stuff. So no chickens required. The team started selling their plant egg called Beyond Eggs in Whole Foods in California, and say it could soon be available in supermarkets worldwide. Oh, Kate says it has to be better than the powdered eggs. Now, it may be better tasting. I don't know. I can't say that. But better? Better for Agenda 21? You can bet on that. I wouldn't trust one of these eggs as far as I can throw Bill Gates. This is definitely evil stuff going on there. I wouldn't trust this crap at all. At all. Yeah, I know. Maybe they're not using GMOs in it. Maybe not. But I guarantee you there's some nasty stuff going on there. I would not trust this at all. At all, at all, at all. No way in hell. Count them, 4,000. That's a lot of free joints to be handed out during a protest up there in Denver. Yeah, the area of Denver, they want to impose this new tax, Proposition AA, to tax, put a massive tax on marijuana up there that is sold in stores and pot shops and other places like that. So in a protest to this, the folk up there got together and handed out 4,000 free joints. Tell you, man, I wish I had known about this ahead of time. I could have drove to Denver. It's only about a 6-hour drive for me. I don't know if 6 hours in the cost of hotels and all that's worth the free joints, but either way, great thing. I'm glad to see they did that. Steak flavored plant. You know, they're making some steak out of recycled feces now. I know, disgusting. Anyway, so there's that for you. 4,000 free joints handed out by marijuana activists yesterday. Party, freaking time. Then again from Denver, and I know you all know about this story already. I know you've all read about this already. This story was all over the place, but I'm going to share it with you from this particular site because I wanted to talk about the name of this site. Although I like the site, the name of the site, I'm going to make a comment about it in a moment after I give you the story. Breaking, which was breaking yesterday, last night when I came across it. Double breaking. Both anti-gun senators, Angela Guyron and John Morse, recalled in Colorado. Recalled. They already reported that Colorado State Senate President and one of the architects of Colorado's anti-gun laws that were passed earlier this year have conceded his recall and is out at state senator. Now, Angela Guyron, the rookie senator, who is also a staunch supporter of the gun laws, who is also facing recall, is out on her ass. The results were still unofficial last night when this came out. They're official by now. The results, but preliminary numbers had the senator losing her race by a massive margin of 60 to 40. And of course, the fake left was saying that there was voter suppression, which of course is, you know, all voting is fake anyway. What's the big deal? Anyway, I got this story on the website called, and because of the fact of the, you know, the story talking about, as they normally do over here on this website, the website is called GunsSaveLives.net. And I just have to say this, just as I always say, that guns don't kill anybody. They also don't save anybody. They don't do anything. Guns are just guns. It's like a hammer or a plate. It's anything. It doesn't. Guns don't save lives. Guns don't kill people. They don't save lives. You gotta have somebody there involved in dealing with that gun before it's going to either kill or save anyone. So I just wanted to let you guys know, listen to that over there on Gun Save Live. If you're hearing me, if you listen to this post later on because you see the link, check it out. Understand that your website, although it's a great website, a lot of good news on there at various times, you picked a bad name. Guns don't save anything. And they don't kill anything either. Guns are great. It's a great tool. It's an awesome tool. It's a beautiful tool. They're fun. They're a toy. They're a tool. They're anything you want them to be, but they don't save anybody any more than they kill anybody. So there's that. Hooray for them. Chicago. Imagine this. City leaders recommend repealing city gun registry. Holy cow! What the hell's going on in Chicago? A decades-old requirement for Chicago, Illinois gun owners to register their firearms will soon be off the books. After a panel of aldermen yesterday on Monday recommended repealing it. If the full Chicago City Council agrees, as expected today, it will be the first time in Chicago since 1968 that legal guns do not have to be registered. Chicago. What the hell is going on in Chicago? Common sense? Maybe they're tired of all the murders out there? I don't know, but that can't be a bad thing. Anytime you take a level of government out of something, it's a good thing. So there's that for you from LibertyCrier.com. Sorry. I forgot I even had this in my lineup for today. But here it is. I came across this story last night, and I you know, whatever. I had to laugh when I first saw it, and I just bringing it up again makes me laugh again. Both sides of the Syrian war are mocking Obama. Oh. A Syrian caricature shows Obama smile and pluck the petals off a daisy as he wonders, should I bomb or shouldn't I bomb? As Obama delays a strike against Assad's regime that thought imminent just over a week ago, Syrians on both sides of that civil war, not civil war, are resorting to black humor, sharing jokes and cartoons via the mobile phones and internet. And after saying he had the authority to act on his own, which he never did. Anyway, one of the funniest things here, one Syrian posted a picture of Obama with a biting caption that reads, when Congress gives me the green light to strike, I'll ask Michelle, and I'll ask my in-laws and my kids, and if they all say it's okay, yeah, I'll probably go ahead at that point. Anyway, it's great to see that they're both making fun of this loser, this puppet, this freaking Manchurian. And then I found this morning on the most least likely of sites to be posting something like this, a website called progressive.org. Now, if anybody's going to be supporting Obama, it's progressive.org. But here it is. The five most ludicrous war claims in Obama's Syria speech. Number one, I possess the authority to order military strikes. No, in fact, you do not, Mr. President. Only Congress has the authority to declare war, and ordering military strikes would be a clear act of war, thus violating the Constitution. It would also violate the War Powers Act, which says the president can't engage in hostilities without a declaration of war or specific congressional authorization unless there is a national emergency created by an attack on the United States, its territories, or possessions, or its armed forces. Ain't happened. Anyway, I'll let you look at the rest of these five things he's got here. But just finding this on this website, progressive.org, wow, I was kind of shocked. Now, the guy that wrote this, by the way, is named Matthew Rothschild. I don't know what to say about that. His name is Rothschild. I don't know anything about this guy. It's not Day Rothschilds, it's just Rothschilds. If it was Baron Matthew Day Rothschilds, then, you know, I might think something more. But, you know, it may be just a name. I don't know. Mike Rivero put this story up on, I don't know if he put it up or not, but somebody put it up on what really happened. But he made a nice comment about it. It's called Obama says Syrian chemical weapons use endangers U.S. security. Well, that's interesting. Apparently, Mike last night had a voice stress analyzer on Obama last night, and it scored lower than the Fox News talking heads that were talking about him, and lower than previous times he's used it on presidential speeches. Obama's speeches. Between that anomalous result and the constant banging of his hands on the podium, the occasions where Obama used shh, where sss would have been a would have gone, plus the look in his eyes, it appeared to me that Obama was on some heavy tranquilizers for last night's speech. Of course, Obama repeated the lie that Assad was responsible for the chemical attack, even though all evidence and simple logic point to the rebels doing it as a false flag. The paid murderers. I ain't calling them rebels. Anyway, so he's calling on Rivero's Rangers, you keyboard folk out there, to call the White House comment line 202-456-1111 and leave a simple comment. We, the people, know you are lying. Yeah, we know you're lying, you scumbag. Anyway, here's the link to that. I know I'm almost out of time, but I got a couple of other quick hits I got to throw in here for you. I came across this poll on a website, acepoll.com. Let me refresh and see if it's got updated any. But the question on this poll is, would you support a limited United States military strike on Washington, D.C., if Obama and or the Congress ignore the will of the people and start another war in Syria? A military strike on D.C. What do you think the odds are that people voted yes? Well, I'll tell you. 78.59% have voted yes. Bomb D.C. Freaking bomb D.C. already. Take that bitch out. And I just want to close out on here, because I wanted to point out, and I know I've pointed this out before, but over on Salon.com by David Sirota, he says, he put up this post yesterday. Take that, DC gas bags. How angry Americans may stop a disaster. And what he's basically saying is that you and I getting up and speaking our displeasure with what's going on in D.C. and about Syria and about the global wars stopped the bombing from going on. Bullshit. Absolute bullshit. Not even close to the truth. Because if it was not for what Russia was doing and China was doing and Iran was doing, saying, do not do this or there will be hell to pay, they would have done it anyway. They don't care what you think. Remember TARP. Remember what happened there. Remember when you said, do not do this. Do not bail out these banksters. Anyway, I got a bunch of other stories to put into the post-show blog for you. I thank you all for tuning in to me today. I'll be back tomorrow with another RLM News show. David Taylor is coming up right now on World Truth Radio, worldtruth.org. Check him out. Michael Rivero is coming up on Channel 15 with What Really Happened. He'll have plenty to say. I guarantee you. Patriot Grammys at 7 p.m. Eastern Time this evening on World Truth Radio and Channel 9 here on RealLibertyMedia.com. And that's it. I'm done. Thank you all. Have a great day and peace.